friends. I don't know exactly how to start this telecast, except maybe to tell you that really there aren't any new things happening in the world. They're just the same old things happening to new peoples. I think that in early history, there happened certain patterns or events which became the model for many subsequent events in history. And of them all, I wonder if the Exodus is not the greatest. And the one that is most applicable to our times. The subject that I'm to talk about today has given me grave concern. That is to say, how it could be presented. I hope it pleases you. I want to tell you that in humanity and through history, many people have common wounds. That's because many people have been exposed to common danger. And there's also a common healing. That's the lesson of the Exodus. Now, what is the pattern of the Exodus? We're only going to speak about the historical Exodus of the Israelites very briefly. But it's our model for today. For the explanation of contemporary events. In the Exodus, there was first of all an enslaved people. Enslaved or persecuted people, it makes no difference which. Secondly, in the historical Exodus, there was Pharaoh. Thirdly, there was the voice of heaven. Who were the enslaved, persecuted people in the traditional or the pattern Exodus? The Israelites. And anyone who's ever read that story in the scriptures will recall all of the enslaved Jews making bricks for the buildings of Pharaoh. Then Pharaoh even took away the straw and made them still make the same number of bricks per day. Rarely in history have a people been so persecuted. There had to be someone who did the persecuting. Someone who forgot his conscience. And ignored it. That was Pharaoh. Pharaoh was face to face with the great man Moses. And Moses spoke the voice of heaven to him. And the words of heaven were, "Let my people go." That's about all we ever hear of that verse. The rest of it is that they may worship me. That they may worship me. Why release the enslaved? Why free them? For worship. 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 That's the die. That's the pattern. That's the model. The Exodus is not something that has happened. It's something that is happening. Now let me tell you how it is happening in our modern world and how we have to look at events and what is to be the conclusion of these events. To whom is it happening and has happened in our times? To the Jews. To the Christians. To the Negro. What happened in Egypt is happening now. Jews, Old Testament. Christians, New Testament. Negroes, race. Somewhat the same as there. These are the events of our day. Now let me tell you something about each. Because hate has had something to do with each of them. Was it not Lord Byron who said, "We love in haste, we detest in leisure. Love fades. Hate seems to supply its own fuel." Now let's go through the three of them. First, the Jews. The Jews were persecuted in our times just as they were centuries before Christ. Who was the new Pharaoh? Hitler. How many in our day? Did you know that there were 10,000 a day that were thrown into the furnace at Auschwitz? Their skin was used as lampshades. Unspeakable tortures. And in all, let us not forget, in our day, 6 million Jews. Went to death, to furnaces, and to poison gas chambers. I don't know whether I think I ever told you the story of Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl is one of the world's greatest psychiatrists, a Jew. He was invited to the United States to establish his new school of logotherapy, as he called it. In other words, life must have a meaning. But he had a father back in Vienna. Hitler was just burning the synagogues. Should he go to America? Leave his father to be killed by the Jews, by the Nazis? He went over to the Church of St. Stephen's and prayed for an hour. He received no answer. At least he thought he received no answer. Actually, he did. Because when he came back, he sat down to table with his father. He said to his father, "What's over there in that dresser?" Father said, "A small piece of marble. Where did you get it?" "Oh," he said, "I was rummaging through the synagogue that Hitler burned, and I picked up this small block of marble. About the only thing that was whole." His son, Dr. Frankl, said, "Any writing on it?" The two of them picked it up. "Do you know what it was? What was written there in Hebrew? The beginning of the fourth commandment. Thou shalt honor thy father and thy mother." He stayed with his father. Later went to his death. When we begin to think of inequalities and injustices and the like, let us not forget that this is one of the forms of exodus of our day. Here was one of the Jews who went to death, burned at Auschwitz. He never finished the poem. This young Jewish philosopher, Benjamin Fondane, never finished it. But he said, I am speaking as a man to other men with the little that is left in me of man. Now he addresses the Nazis. Like you, I have read papers and books. And I knew nothing about man, although I said I knew, yet not. I did not. I was not a man like you. No one has thrown your little ones into the gutter like little cats whose eyes are not yet open. You have not wandered from town to town, hounded by police. You have not known the cattle trucks and the crime of existing. The day will come when we shall be beyond the land of memory, and I shall be a handful of nettles beneath your feet. When you examine this handful of nettles beneath your feet, in a history lost to you, how wonderful, a history lost to you, only remember that I was innocent. And on that day, like you, I also had a face marked by anger, pity, joy. Simply the face of a man. That is one third of the modern Exodus. Now we come to the second. We have to get the full picture of this world in which we live. So the Old Testament was persecuted in the Jews. New Testament was persecuted in our day. And hundreds of millions in the Christians. I could tell you volumes about this. If you had time and that camera didn't have 1,000 hours of film, I could develop it. Now to tell you some of the persecution of the Christians. When just one people, say the Poles were brought to Siberia by the communists. Who was the pharaoh? Stalin? The communists? Who were the Israelites? The Christians? And as God was saying to the Nazis, let my people go that they may worship me. So he was saying to the Christians, let my people go. The Poles, for example. One man who was in that march, the priest told me, there were 325 priests among the 100,000 and more Poles that were taken to Siberia, and only one of the priests could remember the Our Father. So great were they persecuted. The Orthodox priests. There's a Jew here in New York who was there and who told me this story. He said that he saw a scaffolding. And on top of that scaffolding, there were Russian Orthodox priests put. And alongside them in the great pile were vestments. And they had to take the gold thread out of the vestments. Then they threw the rest of the vestment down. Finally, he said there was a pile couple hundred feet high of all vestments, and they were burned. No food was ever given to those Orthodox priests. After a few days, one after another would topple over. They wouldn't kill them. The modern pharaoh had no conscience.
Protestant ministers. If you want to read a classic, a real classic on this subject, read the book Christ in a Communist Prison by a born Jew, a Protestant minister by the name of Richard Wurmbrand. When Romania was tied by the modern pharaohs to a cross, tied up there for 4 days, just because he was a man of God, then taken down. And then prisoners were called in to relieve themselves upon him, then dragged back again on the cross. Missionaries in China. Mao was another pharaoh. One man who miraculously escaped it told me that he was 658 days and nights in a prison that was 5 feet long, 3 feet wide, and there was a sloping concrete bench, 180-degree angle. Nobody could rest on it. Crazy designs on the walls to make him mad. So, take whatever Christian you can of any single country behind the Iron Curtain. We have had a modern exodus of the Old Testament and of the New. There were 6 million Jews. Over 100 million Christians perished in one. And all the while, heaven was saying to the pharaohs, "Let my people go. Let them go, that they may worship me." And the Exodus goes on. We've had the Old Testament. We've had the New Testament. And now we have race. The Negro. The Negro. They started. Become slaves in just a broad kind of way in the year 1444 when a number of them were brought to Lisbon. Then they had their pharaohs. Who were they? Arabs? Muslims? Christians without a conscience? And their own people. Their own people. Because tribe fought tribe. And they felt that one of the ways to conquer tribe was to sell them into slavery. And whoever the pharaohs were, the persecution went on. And how many in all? Well, there have been various estimates made. The extreme number was 100 million slaves were taken out of Africa. There is sufficient evidence to prove that during certain years, about only one-third of them ever got here. They died because of the cruelty of the galley slaves. A vain attempt to reconcile biblical teaching with slavery, which could not be done. So they joined what? They joined the Jews. They joined the Christians. I have here a few advertisements which may interest you. Negroes for sale. This is taken from the New Orleans Bee for the Civil War. A Negro woman, 24 years of age, and her 2 children, one 8 and the other 3 years of age, said Negroes will be sold separately or together as desired. The woman is the good seamstress. She will be sold low for cash or exchanged for groceries. Apply to Matthew Bliss, New Orleans B. A girl of four would bring us $387. Boy of four, about $450. Girl of seven, $800 in an auction in 1855. And these people that were enslaved, they sang songs. Where did they come from? They came from the Exodus. They came from the story of the Old Testament. And they sang songs. And tell old Pharaoh, let my people go. And the Negro spirituals came from their deep sense of continuity with the other peoples. And to some extent, that slavery, while there has been liberation, has continued in as much as they are economically deprived. And they're suffering today, poverty, want, inadequate facilities for education and the like. So what is the general conclusion? The general conclusion is there's no monopoly on persecution. We happen to be living in an age when evil has done its worst. We're all guilty. All. And no one can point a finger at another. A Christian can't point a finger at a Jew. A Jew at a Christian. Or either at a Negro. We've all been victimized. And I think we're like Simon of Cyrene. Remember that man who had to carry the cross of our blessed Lord? The long arm of the Roman law reached out to him and said, carry that cross. He did not want to do it. He was compelled to do it. He was a slave. And I think he summarized all of this tragedy of our age. How did he summarize it? First of all, this Simon of Cyrene, he was a Jew, watching a crucifixion scene. But he was a Jew that came from where? He came from Africa. Because Cyrene is in Africa. And he later on became a Christian because two of his sons became bishops of the early church. This is the kind of picture that we must have in mind. This is the new ecumenism. This is what should make us one. Not be tearing away at one another's throats, blaming one another for conditions. We've all suffered, and we all have to help one another. In other words, those who are hurt together will also help one another.
Bishop Sheen will return in a moment.
After listening to me for about a half hour, I have a message from heaven, and it is, let my people go.
Bye now. God love you.